Okay, I'd like to tell you a little about myself and why my wife Sandra and I are here tonight. As I said, my name is Richard Robinson. I live in a manufactured community here at Westwood Village in Far West, Utah. It's an equity lifestyle property owned property. I am their HOA president. I got started by just attending an HOA meeting. I was interested in what was going on in my community. I decided to try to get involved. I attended a couple of HOA meetings. I showed interest, and I also met and got involved with some wonderful neighbors and friends. And that's how I got involved. Soon afterwards, I saw some of the injustices that were being done to some of the residents here in my community, and so I became the president of the HOA. I found myself running into brick walls like other HOA presidents had done, so I started to look elsewhere, and I ran into what has now became MH Action. At MH Action, together we were able to give each other ideas, share experiences, and together we were able to solve some problems that I had here in my community, as well as solve problems elsewhere. The best way that we can possibly help one another is by sharing and visiting and doing things with one another. I'm very excited to be part of the leadership team here at MH Action. Our goals and our successes have been amazing. We have our growth is amazing, and some of the actions that we have taken have been very, very successful, and we hope in the future to become even bigger. And Pam will go into more of the MH Action goals and what we intend here in the future. Well, enough about me. Well, before I get started, I would like to pass along that one of the things our HOA is doing is that we are holding a community call. We're holding this community call as an HOA in our clubhouse. Unfortunately, our video link isn't up right now, but we have approximately 30 to 35 people here in my clubhouse all listening and joining this call. So if everybody likes to say hello. All right. Next we want to introduce, I'll be introducing Pam, who will introduce our guest speaker and also tell us a little more about MH Action. But first I'd like to turn the time over to Burke, our phone guy, and he will tell us exactly how the phone system is to work and what we need to do. Burke?
Yes, thanks, Richard. Hi, everybody. We're happy that you're on the call tonight. Just to let you know, right now it's in listen-only mode, so everybody calling in can only hear and not participate. But at various points during the call, we are going to be switching over to Q&A mode, and at that time you can ask questions, make comments, and to do that, you need, if you're on the phone, you hit *6 to unmute yourself, and if you are online, there's a little microphone next to your name, and you'll be able to click on that to unmute yourself when we switch to the Q&A mode. So back to you, Richard.
Thank you, Bert. Pam, would you like to take over?
Sure. Thank you, Richard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the call. I also would like to thank y'all for coming to the call this evening. My name is Pam Bornival. I live in Sarasota, Florida, and own a home in the Winds North, which is a ground rent community owned by Equity Lifestyle Properties, which is ELS. I got involved with our homeowners association, became president, and went through two mediations with ELS and one rent negotiation. During the frustration of the second mediation, I bought shares in ELS to try to effect change from another angle. My husband and I went alone to two shareholder meetings and spoke with Tom Hanahan, who was CEO at the time, but felt we were not really being listened to. About 2.5 years ago, I met Kevin Borden from the Center for Community Change, which is CCC. One of the social campaigns they are working on is retirement security. In other words, the preservation and enhancement of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Kevin saw that there could be a hand-in-hand effort between CCC and manufactured homeowners. A great many of these owners pay their rent using Social Security earned benefits and are under duress if benefits decrease and or rents are increased unjustifiably. We also knew that Sam Zell, who's the chairman of the board of ELS, made negative statements about Social Security and made contributions to politicians and political action committees who are on record wanting to decimate these earned benefit programs. With a hustle and bustle, a group of homeowners went to the ELS shareholder meeting in 2012, some getting into the under 3-minute meeting and some protesting ELS actions down on the sidewalk. In 2013, we again attended the shareholder meeting and saw a few changes. An agenda was furnished, the board of directors was introduced, a question and answer period was included, and the two executive regional vice presidents were available afterward for discussion. It was not the meeting which we wanted with Marguerite Nader, the current president and CEO, and or Sam Zell, chairman of the board, but it was a start. However, since it was not the meeting we requested, and after we saw we weren't getting anywhere with them anyway, we cut the meeting short. Another very exciting thing was a shareholder resolution asking for a report on political contributions and legal proceedings. While not passing, this resolution garnered an unprecedented 46% of the votes. This year, we once again went to the shareholder meeting and had about the same results, including with the shareholder resolution. Each year, we have more homeowners inside the meeting. Once again, the two executive regional VPs were there to meet with us, and once again, the ELS homeowners asked for a meeting with Marguerite Nader, to no avail. Last year, we also convened in Las Vegas to ask the Manufactured Housing Institute, which is the commercial side of manufactured housing, to understand our concerns and ask ELS to meet with homeowners to discuss reasonable business practices and take a stance in favor of Social Security. Last fall, we had a successful for sale sign campaign, putting signs in home windows with statements like, "For sale, our retirement security." Communities reported better dealings with management and more press covered this action. This year in Chicago, we were also part of an action at the corporate headquarters of Wells Fargo, asking them to be more negotiating friendly with those who have fallen on hard times and are trying to find resolution with their mortgages. A few homeowners reported immediate and positive results. Excuse me. Every time we get together, we receive tremendous leadership and corporate campaign strategy training from CCC, plus we get a certain amount of training and guidance during the core team biweekly phone calls. Along the way, we also have realized that every manufactured homeowner in this country should be concerned about what goes on at ELS because they are the examples that the other owners follow. We also realized that the Real Estate Investment Trust, or REIT, business model used by ELS and many other corporate owners, whether they're public or private companies, is under tremendous pressure to perform and to deliver ever-increasing dividends. This leads to unjustifiable rent increases and decreased maintenance and failing infrastructures. We have expanded to involve all homeowners to challenge every REIT and rally every community owner out there to fairly negotiate with their homeowners and to issue public statements in support of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. We are also supporting individual HOAs and state HOAs to pursue legislation within their states, counties, and municipalities to bring about changes in the laws to better protect the rights of homeowners in ground rent communities. We acknowledge the pressure of public opinion and work with the press to get our stories out. We acknowledge the effectiveness of letters to the editor. We have a well-followed Facebook page and a great website. We acknowledge the strength of numbers. When enough of us band together and demand our rights, no amount of lobbying from the other side can work. We must not give up, and we ask you all to join us. Now I'd like to introduce Renee Manley, who is our go-to person when regarding anything regarding pension funds and corporate campaigns. She is an employee at Service Employees International Union, or SEIU, the largest union in the country. And she's going to talk to us about corporate campaigns, pension funds, how to contact trustees of pension funds, how we do it, why we do it. And then we'll have a question and answer period at the end of her talk. So, Renee?
Thank you so much, Pam. I'm so inspired when I hear you tell your story and all of the work that you guys have done at MH Action. It really is inspiring, and I'm hoping that what we talk about today gives people and helps people think about another kind of strategic direction to take the work of MH Action to, so that you guys can get results for the homeowners that you're working so hard for. I was really asked to get on the call and talk a little bit about the ELS and the other owners, the other companies and their relationship to pension funds. So I know you guys may know some of this already, so forgive me if I'm kind of repeating the basic information. But to give a brief refresher, pension funds are institutional shareholders. They invest for the long term to provide retirement security for their plan participants, who mostly are public employees like teachers and firefighters and people who work at universities and other kinds of state agencies. And so these investors, these pension funds, are investing for long-term shareholder value because, of course, they have a long timeline of when people start working to provide benefits for the duration of folks' retirement. And so they buy stock of companies like ELS because they expect to get a return on their investment that's positive and that helps create value for those public employees who are going to be retiring. One of the things that how pension funds operate, I should say, is that they have pension boards of trustees. The pension boards of trustees are usually elected and appointed individuals who are charged with making financial decisions and the best interest of those plan participants. So those pension board trustees are the folks who make and approve the ultimate investment decisions and guide the direction of the pension fund. Of course, there's professional staff. They usually have an executive director and chief investment officers, but the pension fund trustees can direct and ask questions about any investment that the fund has made or will make or is contemplating making. So as you can probably guess by now, these pension funds could play a very critical role as you're looking at expanding your campaign against these companies. So what do these pension fund meetings usually look like? You would be really surprised. What usually happens at a pension fund meeting, which are public meetings, they are public meetings open to the public, and in most cases, they also have a public comment period where anyone can make a public comment or ask a question about a subject that is within the realm of the pension fund. In most of these meetings, there are very few plan participants who attend. There are very few members of the public who attend. Usually the folks who are at the pension fund meetings are pension fund staff, investment managers and consultants who are seeking or who have a business before the pension board. And that's usually it. I mean, there's maybe 10 people in the room. Maybe there's 15 people in the room. That's usually it. And the duration of the meetings varies from fund to fund. Some pension fund meetings last you know, an hour and a half. Some last, you know, for 2 days. I mean, it just varies by fund by fund. But what isn't, what doesn't vary from fund to fund is the opportunity. Because as the word that they use in the pension fund language is as fiduciaries, they have to be concerned about the value of their investment. So while they may not necessarily care on the surface about, you know, whether Sam Zell meets with you or not, what they will care about is the lack of investment in infrastructure, the growing occupancy rates, the level of complaints that homeowners have against these companies. That could have an impact on their investment. What they will care about is the possibility that there could be some headlines that names them as investors in these companies that creates a headline risk for them. So those are some of the ways that we talk to pension funds when we are approaching them, you know, about our issues. And this is one of the ways that you might want to go and talk to pension fund trustees about your issues. One other thing is that many of these pension fund trustees are members of labor unions, they're community members, and there are and they could be possible allies, so that you should be have some sort of receptive audience in many of these pension funds, because these are folks who are regular working folks just like you, and even if they don't necessarily know what to do at the time you ask, they should definitely be willing to meet with you, hear the issues and the concerns that you have, and help you guys figure out what the next step should be. I approached pension funds before I went to SCIU and did this full time, and I'm always amazed by, first of all, how fast the word gets back to the companies. When you go to a pension fund, they care about those relationships because they want those folks to keep buying stock. And the second thing is how really receptive a lot of those pension fund trustees are when we are able to raise these issues, not necessarily using our language. Now, let me be clear. We have to talk about it in terms of risk and things that they care about, but when we do that, they are really receptive. I don't know, Pam, if there's any other thing that I haven't talked about that you want me to cover, but I'm certainly open to answering any questions that folks might have.
I think we can move on to question and answer period right now. Renee, thanks so much for all that beginning information. So, Burke, if you can open us up.
All attendees are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
Let's hold this to specific questions regarding working with pension funds and how it might work in your state, please.
Just a reminder, if you're on the phone, you can unmute yourself by pressing star 6. If you're online, you can click the microphone next to your name to unmute yourself.
This is Tim Chan. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes,
Tim.
We can. Hello, Tim.
Okay. I'm from California. I've been an ELS shareholder since 2002. We have the unique situation in California that ELS lost a large lawsuit earlier this year, $111 million. And so that should also be a concern to pension funds. I've been in touch with CalPERS, our pension, major pension funds in California, and I'm hoping to make a presentation to them. And be compelling. As Renee said, fine, that should hit there. And also,
Tim, you're breaking up.
Okay. Is that any better?
That's a little better, yes.
Okay. I'd just like to add that I'm also president of the National Manufactured Homeowners Association, and I know that on the agenda later there's a topic for HOAs. I just want to make a brief plug for National Manufactured Homeowners Association. We have a website.
Kim, we're here to talk about MH Action. Thanks.
Okay. I hope people will check the website. We're a longstanding homeowner advocacy group.
Kim, are there any other questions?
Okay, well, if there's not any more questions, let's move on to our next segment. First of all, Renee, I'd like to thank you for your insight on pension funds. That was some very good information we had. And thank you, Pam, for overseeing that. Next, we'll be moving on to Jesse. Jesse will be giving us some important information about running a good local meeting. Afterwards, if you have questions for Jesse, we'll have a little bit of time for that. After Jesse, if there is more time available, and we hope there's about another 15, 20 minutes, we'll open the lines up for any comments or questions in a general nature. So, Jesse, would you like to take over, please?
Yes. My name is Jesse Martinez. I am out of North Adams, Massachusetts. We live in a community of 200 units. We are a co-op. We own our community. But before that, I was president of our tenants association for 15 years. And we have a good organization. We have a consistent organization that we keep our membership at around 80 to 83% for the last 15 years. And it is because of strong work that we do in making sure that everyone is notified, educated, and any questions will be answered. The other thing that we have done in our state is that four years ago, I became president of our state organization, and we brought that forward as to our method of keeping our members in our organization viable at all times, which is a very good help to be able to progress, be able to get legislation passed, and be able to get our members informed at all times and educated. The other thing that we do, which has been a big concern, is rent increases. We have put down an Excel file where we do challenge any rent increases throughout the state.
All attendees are muted.
Okay. We do a rent increase throughout the state to be able to either minimize an increase or to stop an increase. Of course, every state is different. Their laws are different. And we try to educate ourselves in our state with every possible tool necessary to do so, to defeat or at least minimize an increase. And it's very easy. We'll be more than happy to share that information with everyone that requests it to be able to hopefully stop an increase. And one of the more important that we feel is being able to get an alternative dispute resolution program in our state, which we hadn't had. There was only a few states out there that have it. We are going to be the next one. And that is another tool used for being able to help residents and manufacturing communities throughout our state and throughout our country, which is very important to defend all our rights. So in the most important one that in our eyes has been in private communities, being able to have law enforcement to be able to patrol your communities, that I have been hearing throughout our country, that has been an issue, and we have put a formula together to be able to try to get the police department involved in our communities, which in our particular town, we just achieved that, and now we're going to bring it out throughout the state and doing the same method. And that is something that everyone has been looking for, and we think we have cracked the way of being able to do that to get it done for everybody. I think, Pam, that would be...
Well, thank you, Jesse.
Richard.
Do we want to open that up for any questions at this time?
All attendees are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing star 6.
Before we get in, this is Pam, before we get into any potential questions, I just want to review that on the MH Action website, there is a space for, under toolkits, for resources regarding homeowners associations or things going on in your state. So if you have anything that you'd like to have posted there, send an email to info@mhaction.org, and then be sure to check the website under toolkits for resource materials.
So. Do we have any questions then?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Chris Hicks. I'm from Westwood Village in Ogden, Utah. And I was curious, Jesse mentioned something about that he has materials that we can look at for, you know, stopping or looking at stopping rent increases or something. Is that material all on the MH Action community, or do we need to get Jesse's email information?
Jesse, you want to take that?
Sure. You can do it one of two ways. You can either email me directly, but with MH Action, if we put it online under MH Action, then under those toolkits, then this way everyone can see it, and it would be useful to whomever would like to dive into the toolkit and be able to use the formulas that we use and the techniques that we use that, of course, as you said, where you live at in Utah, it's something that would be based on your state laws, but it could be helpful to you or to your community. And yes, I am going to post it so that everyone can see the way we do it, and it's been helpful for us, and hopefully it'll be helpful to you as well.
Thank you.
Right. And like Jesse was saying, you know, he's there in Massachusetts, so, you know, the laws may vary from state to state, but the formulas are good. The ideas are good and sound, and we will be posting those up on our website at MH Action under the tool icon. Do we have any other questions for Jesse? Anything about HOAs or meetings in general? If not, I'd like to thank Jesse for taking his time and giving us that information. We do have time now. It seems that we have approximately a half hour for open questions, if we have any. Before we start, I would like to state that we here at MH Action do recognize many local organizations, such as your local HOAs. We have state organizations, as well as many national organizations. We here at MH Action don't visit these other organizations' calls and try to promote our MH Action website or anything else. And we would ask that other groups try to be as professional and realize that this is an MH Action call, and we'll keep our comments to MH Action or the Community for Senator Change. Thank you. If anyone has any general questions they might have for MH Action, for Renee or Jesse or Pam and I, please feel free to ask. Remember, star 6 will unmute you, and I hope to get a few questions here. clerk, can we open the lines?
Yep. The line should be open.
This is Pam. While we're waiting for some questions, I just want to review again from what was gone over with Renee. There is a petition at the MH Action website, a state-specific petition asking State Pension Board to review their investments and to consider what some of these REIT corporations are doing, specifically ELS. So please go to the website and sign that petition for your state. Also, we'd encourage you, as was suggested, to meet with the trustees of your state pension fund, let them know what's going on, and ask them to review what they're doing. And then also, especially during August recess, if you're happening to meet with your members of Congress about any other issue, don't forget to let them know also about what's going on in your state and with your state pension fund. They're more on the federal level, but it doesn't hurt to get the word out to as many people as possible.
I'm going to go ahead and try to switch it to discussion mode so that it'll open up all the lines in case people are having problems unmuting themselves. And if there's too much noise, I'll switch it back to Q&A mode. I also want to remind people that you can ask questions. If you're online, you can ask questions in the chat.
All attendees are unmuted.
And now folks should be able to go ahead and ask any questions if you're having troubles before.
Now, one thing here in Utah about that petition, I know here in Utah that ELS, that the state of Utah is invested in ELS and their funds, and we will be addressing that issue very soon and asking them to reconsider their investment in ELS due to the way that Equity Lifestyle Properties treats the seniors and residents of the two communities they hold here in Utah. We would like the state to take a look at that. So if you're hearing from Utah, I would especially like you to go and sign that petition, the one addressed for our state, and we'll be taking that on to the legislator very soon. Thank you. Do we have any comments or questions in general? Maybe somebody that's a first-time caller?
Richard,
any thoughts on what you'd like to see from future calls?
Right. We do plan on having one of these calls every 3-4 months. This month we did discuss the issue of corporate campaigns and stuff like that. So we are interested if anybody has any ideas.
All attendees are muted and may unmute themselves by pressing *6.
If anyone has any ideas that they would like to discuss in the future on one of these calls, we would love to entertain that.
Are we allowed to ask questions about the Social Security and people being that have to not to take care of their family and they can't work, but they still get Social Security credit? Are we allowed to talk about that right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We're having a very hard time hearing you. Ma'am? Ma'am, we're having a very hard time hearing you.
Is that really part of this? Hello?
If you had a question or a comment there, I couldn't hear you.
Okay, just a second.
Oh, we're hearing you now.
Okay. All right. What I'm asking about is the Social Security and being able to get credit when you have to take care of a disabled person or your mother and father or a disabled child or an aunt or whatever, and you cannot work in order to do that. And I think that's a wonderful idea. We've all had people where we have became caregivers sometime during their lifetime. But now this last bulletin that I received said that they're going to try and get it for stay-at-home dads and moms that take care of children that go to school and they're not disabled in any way. They're just going to give them Social Security credit because they're staying home and taking care of their children. Did I read that right? Is that correct?
What do you mean?
This is Pam. I have to admit, I'm not real sure about all the details of that. That's not anything that I've heard recently. I know that the bill presented for the caregiver. Go ahead.
I read it on a MH Action bulletin. that was sent to me from MH Action.
If you want, Pam, I can take that question really quick.
Burke, go ahead.
This is Burke. And yeah, definitely appreciate the question. It's something, as Richard and Pam were talking about at the beginning, this campaign around MH Action is very much related to broader work around retirement security and protecting and expanding Social Security. And one of the really important ideas that's been out there, as the caller was talking about, is the idea of having a credit for caregivers. And there's actually legislation that's been presented in Congress by Nita Lowey, Representative Nita Lowey from New York, to address that issue and to allow for people who quit their jobs, who take time out of the workforce, to be caregivers for a family member or a child, someone with disabilities, a loved one, you know, who's in need. Somebody who does that and takes time out of the workforce can then receive credits towards their Social Security, and so it would be a really important step forward. And there was a booklet, a storybook of caregivers that a number of members of MH Action, including Dale Muzzy, who I'm not sure if he's on the call today, their stories were shared in that book, and so it's something we can also share after the call, a way to pressure and ask our representatives to be co-sponsors of that bill, because as the caller was saying, it would be a really important step forward for a lot of people who've done that really essential work of caregiving.
One thing I'd like to add on that, this is Richard again. We here at MH Action and CCC have been working very strong on this issue. We believe strongly in the caregiver credit, and we've had many calls and conferences on this, and we'll continue to do so.
And this is, and I understand that it was for disabled, when you have to stay home and take care of somebody that's disabled or elderly. But the last one I read, I understood it to say that it would, that the woman would be able to get credit for taking care of her children. As they grow up for her Social Security. That's, none of them have to be disabled. They just go to school every day and come home. That's the way I read it. Did I read it correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. So it is for people who are caring for an aging parent or a person with disabilities or a child. So you, like you're saying, it could indeed be for somebody who takes time, who quits their job and takes time out of the workforce to care for their own child, up to 5 years. So it is limited in that sense, but that is entirely correct that it would also benefit parents of children like that.
Okay, and the children do not have to be disabled.
No, that was just a part of a list of different caregiving scenarios, but yes, any child.
Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Do we have any other questions out there?
I sent one, didn't
you? Richard, we had a question from somebody asking if we're going to be sending an email to pension funds. As a review, there are petitions online at the MH Action website, state-specific, to send this petition to the trustees of the state pension funds to review their investments. Aside from that, there are no plans to send any type of email. That would be something that individuals could do on their own or through their community HOAs, realizing the power of numbers. So the more people that do this, the more HOAs that do this, send messages to trustees of these state pension funds who are not used to hearing from anyone, it's going to open their eyes and have them start looking into where they have their investments. So go to the website, please, MH Action website, and sign your state-specific petition. You can either download a form and mail it, or you can fill it out online.
And again, we'd like to thank the Center for Community Change for the research and efforts that they put in to get all this information together for us. Do we have any other questions, comments? Has anyone got anything out of our call?
This is Tim from California. I hope MH Action will restore the collaboration with NMOA at the federal level to better serve homeowners. Thank you.
That, as we're talking about pension funds and talking about state pension funds, it's also the same with corporate pension funds. If you receive a pension, you might look into the list of investments that your pension fund is invested in. And if you find any of the manufactured home community corporate owners in the list of investments, contact your pension fund and tell them your story and ask them to review their investments. It's not just the states, but or if you're invested in any mutual funds, look at the list of investments under that your mutual fund is invested in. And if you find any of these corporate owners, contact them and say, tell them your story and ask them why, to review where they're invested. So there's a lot, numerous ways that we can all together raise a little bit of dust.
I just had a wonderful idea brought to my attention by one of the residents here in my community. One way that we may get a few more signatures, if there's anyone out there that is a chairman or part of an HOA, you could actually, at your next HOA meeting, take a computer up to your clubhouse or wherever you meet and get your community involved in a group signing and all sign a petition at once at a group meeting. Is another way to possibly get some more signatures on these and put some pressure on our both state and union pension funds. Do we have any other comments or questions at this time? Any closing comments that Pam would like to make, or Jesse?
Well, just a final moment, if anybody has any suggestions or subjects of future calls.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I would once again ask people to go to the website, sign the petition for the state pension funds. Like MH Action on Facebook and stay in touch with what we're doing.
And Pam, just to mention really quick that when people log off from the call today, it will take them directly to a survey that they can fill out with feedback and other questions they may have and ways to get involved. So definitely if you're online and when you log out, follow the link and fill in that survey.
And that's also a great place to ask a question if maybe you just didn't feel like you wanted to get on the call today and ask a question, but you may have one. Ask it during in that survey, and we will get back to you and answer you the best as we possibly can. Jesse, any final thoughts?
Yes, just reinforce what you just said, Richard, is that, you know, a lot of times we have the hindsight is always 20/20, and we don't think of all the questions that we would like to ask during a meeting, but we do afterwards. So be sure if anyone has any questions or has a thought that they would like to express to get an answer for, please post it on MH Action so that we can answer them for you. We may not necessarily have the answer for you immediately, but we'll get an answer for you regardless of the.
Hey, thank you, Jesse. Now, once again, I would like to reiterate the fact that there are many, many organizations out there. I belong to several. I'm the president of my local HOA. I'm part of my state organization, which is the Utah Coalition of Manufactured Housing. I'm also involved here in MH Action. There's state organizations. There's several national organizations. They're all good. They all do great. We hope that you enjoy what you hear here at MH Action. I encourage you to join MH Action and follow us on Facebook, as Jesse said, and follow us on our website. But I encourage you to also get involved with other organizations on a state and local level, also on a national level. There may be a possibility that MH Action doesn't fit for somebody on this call. Please just don't go away. Look, explore, find new ideas. That is the goal of MH Action here, is to explore new ideas. We ask questions of one another. We share ideas. We share experiences. And through the sharing of one another's ideas, we have been able to solve some problems. For an example, here at Westwood Village, it was on an MH Action call that someone in California, and I'm not sure if it was Tim or not, but someone in California gave me the idea of holding a town hall meeting, which we did here at Westwood Village a couple of years ago. We called ELS to the table, and we told them that we needed our sidewalks, our roads, and our driveways repaired. We haven't got as much done as we would like, but we have had some successes. We've had several driveways repaired. We've had our major roads repaired here. And if it wasn't for the ideas that have been shared here with me at MH Action, through MH Action, I would not have been able to have that success here in my community. So once again, by sharing and listening and trying new ideas, just like we did again here at Westwood Village by holding a group call tonight, and that has been very successful. I understand they finally got our webcam up, so that's good. But by sharing and doing new ideas, that is the way we instill growth and support at MH Action and for the manufactured housing industry across the United States. Again, if there's no other questions, we are a little early, but if there's no other comments or questions, do we have any?
Richard, this is Jesse.
Yes.
In your comments about your driveways, just to let you know, before we became a co-op, that we as a HOA were able to succeed in getting 85 driveways in our community by a Board of Health order to replace them. And that was action that we did to be able to get it done for our residents at that time. And so we ended up spending just under $223,000 in having 85 driveways replaced for our residents, especially the elderly. Well, that was
just a couple
used the same way.
So those are just some stories of the successes that local HOAs have had. And like, again, our local HOA here at Westwood Village in Far West Utah, where I am the HOA chairman, I get a lot of great ideas from other ELS-owned communities from across the United States. We have found that we are not alone, that there are others out there that have the same problems and the same concerns with high rents, bad infrastructure, and so forth. It's enjoyable to get on these calls and share our experiences with one another. And I'm indeed grateful for having the opportunity to share this call. I'm indeed grateful for the opportunity to be part of the leadership room at MH Action, as well as my state level, and especially am I grateful for being the HOA president at Westwood Village, and I am grateful for all the support that my community gives me and allows me to share with you and other communities across the United States. And if there's no other comments or questions, I would like to say thank you all for joining the call. Jim, please go.
Richard, yes. Hello, this is Sherry from Florida. I was wondering when
Sherry.
You said, hi, Richard, how are you? Hi, everybody.
Fine.
It's good to hear you this evening. I was wondering when you talked about the road repairs or driveway repairs that went on in your community, did ELS pass that cost on to the residents?
That's a very hard question to say.
Okay.
You know, our rent did go up, but it went up according to ELS. According to ELS, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my own personal opinion is possibly a dollar here or there, but no, we didn't see any major raise in our rent.
Are you mostly on CPI, or do you have some market rents also?
I'm not sure what the question is.
Your rental on your property is, per se, you and Sandra's. Are you a CPI? Is that how they rent increase you, or are you on a market rent increase?
I believe we're on a market rent here in Utah.
Yeah, well, we're part CPI and part market, and it's hard to decipher, like you said, what they charge us for repairs that should have been done a long time ago. But anyway,
right.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate your answer on that.
Thank you, Sherry. Any
right.
other comments or questions? Well, then, again, I'd like to thank everybody for being on this call. I hope and pray that at least some of us came away with some new ideas or some insight about where we may go from here. Again, we at MH Action and the Center for Community Change, thank you for your support. We would like to ask that you go to our website and see what we do and follow us on our Facebook page. And once again, I'd like to thank Renee for taking time to discuss the pension plans with us. And I'd like to thank Pam, Burke, and Jesse for being on this call with me. Good night, everyone. And
Richard, if I can
you.
Just cut in one final comment. I just saw someone ask the question. The petition link can be found at the website, which is at www.mhaction.org. So Carolyn Bennett Barrett, www.mhaction.org.
And that stands for Manufactured Housing Action, because that's what we try to do here at MH Action.
And if you click on Take Action, then it'll take you directly to those petitions.
Good. Well, thanks, everyone, for being on the call, and we hope that you'll join us again next time. And good night.
Night.